The U.S. has many economies, and they're not all on the same page. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. As much as the U.S. economy has grown in the past year, it has not grown evenly. Farms and small communities across the U.S. have not kept up. USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue will speak to this before the House Agriculture Committee later this morning. The topic is the state of the rural economy. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
Cities are feeling the strong economy, but, says Sarah Lowe,
I think the state of the rural economy is not great right now.
Lowe is an agricultural economist at the University of Missouri.
The rural economy really hasn't recovered from the Great Recession like the urban economy in the U.S. has.
Farm incomes were down 12% last year, thanks in part to the trade war. Allison Davis heads the Community and Economic Development Initiative of Kentucky.
A lot of our farmers are working off their farm to try to supplement their income. And there's a big crisis, I think, facing farmers.
And in turn, the rest of the rural economy. Perdue is expected to address that crisis.
I also expect him to talk a lot about the opioid epidemic rural communities are facing.
And several other issues, including the need to expand high-speed internet in rural America. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.2% range, with the Dow future down 62 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.63%. Spotify launched in India last night with a music streaming service tailored to listeners in that country. Spotify operates in many countries around the world, but India is not just another market. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is here to talk about it with us. Good morning, Anu.
Good morning, Sabri.
Streaming music revenue in India generally grew more than 60% in 2017. I take it India is a ripe market.
Oh, yes. I mean, when you consider, Sabri, that India has 400 million mobile phone users, I mean, that's more than the population of the U.S., and that's growing. And data at the moment, there are a lot of low-cost plans out there. So audio and video streaming both have really, really grown. And it's a market that's absolutely ripe for more players and for more subscribers.
Who are the big players? And are there also significant Indian-based competitors that Spotify is going to have to deal with?
There are several big Indian competitors. Gaana is one, that means song. Saavn is another, that means rain. There is also Amazon Prime. And you do also have Apple. So it's definitely a crowded market. And the expectation is that Spotify is going to go in for the quote-unquote premium market. Now, premium in India means a subscription fee of about $1.70 a month. And so that's how they plan to position themselves in this vast market.
When it comes to some industries, India has worked very hard to keep outside competition out for the sake of its domestic industry. You know, they've made it hard for Amazon and Walmart to sell things online in India, for example. Has there not been any push to keep Spotify and other music providers out?
I think the difference is that physical retail just represents such a bigger threat to the livelihoods of so many Indians. When you think about the hundreds of millions of small mom and pop shops, if you consider that IT, high tech stuff, only represents about 2% of the Indian economy. I mean, we tend to make a big deal out of it, but you know, as a slice of the economy, it's pretty small. That's why it's not as big a deal and you're not seeing the same kind of barriers.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, it was good to talk to you.
Thank you.
In today's tight labor market, a generous benefits package can mean the difference between hiring good employees and losing them to another company. So, what stands out? As more college graduates enter the workforce with thousands of dollars in student loans, a few companies are attracting applicants by offering to help pay off that debt. From WBUR in Boston, Carrie Young reports.
Aaron Ain, the CEO of Kronos, a Massachusetts-based HR software company, decided to start offering student loan repayment benefits because the company has lots of openings in a competitive labor market.
We were trying to offer benefits that reflect the reality of the current world we live in.
Ain thought the idea of offering a repayment benefit might be a good way to attract workers. Today, about 13% of the company's domestic employees are signed up, including procurement specialist Sarah Sheehy.
I was paying almost $1,000 a month, and so any kind of help in that area was really exciting to me.
Sheehy had more than $100,000 of student loans after earning a bachelor's degree and an MBA. Kronos puts $500 a year towards that debt and helped her refinance her loan. All of that helped her reduce her monthly payment by $200.
It's something I would think about if I was going to go to another company for sure.
Boston-based Fidelity Investments also offers student loan repayment benefits. The company offers $10,000 to employees over the course of 5 years. Asha Srikantaya is a leader in the company's emerging products department.
Among new hires that have student debt, this benefit was one of the top reasons that they actually chose to come here.
Chitrain Birbal with the Society of Human Resource Management says the number of companies offering this benefit has been slowly growing over the last few years. But, she says, that pace could soon speed up if Congress passes changes that have been proposed to the tax laws that would encourage companies to offer repayment benefits.
We may see student loan repayment benefits become the new norm in the workplace.
Still, the number of employers offering this benefit is relatively small, about 4% of U.S. companies, according to a recent survey from the Society of Human Resource Management. In Boston, I'm Carrie Young for Marketplace.
And we should note, Kronos is an underwriter of this program. Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch is for sale, again, for $31 million. That is 70% off. It was going for $100 million just 4 years ago. It's been taken off the market and relisted several times due to wildfires and mudslides and lack of buyers. A six-year drought also didn't make the property present well in previous years, according to realtors. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.